Hope that you had a great week. What a privilege I have this morning to share God's word with you. I'm looking around. Everybody looks so good. And I want to say thanks, everybody, for really getting on board this series this month with your team gear and things like this. We've had a great time with that. And today, we're going to kind of wrap this up with the conclusion of our series entitled The Game Plan. Today is the final part of The Game Plan. Moving on to a different series next week. But I want to say thank you and kind of express gratitude, church, for your amazing generosity. I love the story that Kelsey told earlier about giving, and thank God that he is always taking good care of us. Amen, everybody. But I want to just share this with you and just say thank you so much for having a heart for the gospel. So just kind of give a report and something to celebrate this morning from a generosity standpoint. Church, this year, locally and domestic and in foreign missions giving, this month, you guys have surpassed $40,000. In fact, we gave $40,540 to local, domestic, and foreign missions so far this year. And I want to give God praise for all of that. Thank you guys so much. You know, according to God's word, where you put your money is where your treasure and your heart truly is. How many realize that's what the word of God says? So, church, thank you so much for caring about people and for caring about being concerned with the spreading of the gospel locally throughout the U.S. and around the world. So faithful and so consistent. One more time, just clap and give God thanks and praise for what he's doing. Thank you guys so much for your giving and your generosity. In this series, The Game Plan, we have been kind of resetting the values and the vision points of the church. And so we're talking each week about these four values, and you can see them. Today will be the last one. This month we've talked about, number one, encounter God. Come on and say them with me. Come on. Encounter God. Number two, discover purpose. Three, connect in community. By the way, thank you so much to Pastor Kevin last week, who did a phenomenal job ministering on connect in community that last week. Great job, PK. Karen and I were out of town celebrating our anniversary last Sunday, and we had a great time, and we went to the Braves game, and so thank you guys for allowing us to get away last week and had a great, great experience. But today, we're talking about value number four, make a difference. Come on, everybody say it. Say, make a difference. Make a difference. And so all four of these initiatives really are what we're hinging the vision of the ministry on. So today, make a difference. We're going to begin. We're just looking at some scripture today and just a word of encouragement about making a difference with our life. And so we're going to begin in 1 Peter chapter number 4 and just kind of break it down a little bit today. And look with me on your screen this morning, and we'll jump right into the message today. How many of you guys are excited about the word of God today? Come on. Amen. 1 Peter 4 and 8. Looking closely. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Can I read that one just one more time? Look closely with me. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. This text this morning starts pretty strong. Here's one way to start making a difference in somebody's life, everybody. Let's learn to give grace through love when people make mistakes. Did y'all realize it doesn't take any spiritual maturity whatsoever to expose someone else's sins? But you can change someone's life by loving them enough to let God handle their heart without ruining their chances because you need to let somebody know what you know. That's not even the message this morning. Let's read on. But it's true. Amen. Make a difference. 1 Peter 4, 9 says this. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And then verse 10 is where we'll kind of land for just a moment. Verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as stewards of the manifold grace of God. Thank God. Notice with me this morning that there are three incredible truths just here in verse number 10 that serve as a jump start to making a difference with your life. The first part of verse number 10 says that each one has received a gift. And that means that you have special gifts from God. Aren't you glad about that? We talked about that a little bit in week two of this series entitled Discover Purpose. But we can't hit it hard enough to know. It's so vital within the life of the church that every born-again person realize that he or she is gifted by God to serve and to minister. Maybe no one has ever told you that you're gifted or that you've got something special that God can use. But the scripture says that everyone has been gifted by the Lord. Thank God. Somebody say, that's me. Come on. Can you start believing it right now? So I urge you to start today, right now, looking inside and beginning to ask God to reveal his unique gifts that he has placed in you. Can you do that? Maybe you already know what some of your gifts are, and thank God for that. But you know what? If you're in here today and you don't really know, and you might say, hey, Pastor Brandon, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what God has for me to do. Well, just begin by believing that he's got something great for you to do. And then be willing to let him use you in it. The second part of verse 10 says that we are to take that gift and minister it to one another. Did you read that? That means that God expects you to follow through, to take your gifts from God and be a minister to the people around you. I realize this is a foreign thing to a lot of people because we are conditioned in church life to come to church and sit and listen and kind of participate in that way. But listen, as part of the culture of this church, we want every person to realize that it's not just the pastor's job or the worship leader's job or the group leader's job to be ministering and serving and doing great things for God. If you're born again and the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life, it means that God has a gift for you to do and he expects you to minister that thing. All people in Christ's kingdom are called to the service of ministering to one another. And that really means to serve each other, to encourage one another, to concern ourselves with the needs of each other and not just be concerned with our own needs. Make a difference. Somebody say, make a difference. Come on. And the last part of verse number 10 gives us a vision of God's plan for all of us making a difference. It says that we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now that word manifold just means many forms. In other words, there are many forms of God's grace. And he has entrusted us to steward his grace one to another. What does it look like? It just means all of us digging in to whatever form of grace we're gifted to deliver and become mighty and become faithful at pouring out his grace in everybody's life everywhere that we go. Can y'all see that with me? Amen. The manifold grace of God just means that God has got all kinds of grace. He's got all kinds of forms of grace. And it's up to us as good stewards of that grace to figure it out, to get involved, to realize, hey, it's upon me and you to spread his grace and to be good stewards of that thing everywhere we go. Thank God. So one more time, 1, 2, and 3, you have a gift. God expects you, number 2, to minister in that gift. And number 3 is so important that we are stewards of that grace. And we've got to minister it one to another. Amen. So can you receive that this morning? So real quick, let me just give you 4 little points in this teaching this morning to get us there. I want to encourage you with 4 steps to making a difference in your life. Come on, if you're ready, say, I'm ready. Here's number 1. You can watch the notes on your screen. Number 1, to make a difference, become a partner with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Become a partner with the Holy Spirit. I've referred to this scripture a lot, but I can't think of a better one to plug in right here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. These are the words of Jesus as he's about to ascend on a cloud and he's giving his followers final instructions. And he says this to the people. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Thank God. Did you know that as a person, just as a human being, there'll always be limits to how far your witness and your service is to affect someone else? But Jesus said that there's another level of power and influence that comes on your life when you allow God's Spirit to work through you and in your life. Here's the next level. you have got a lot of giftings and you've got a lot of potential and you've got a lot of abilities, a lot of talents. There's a lot that you can do on your own. But the Spirit of God has supernatural power. He has supernatural power that you don't have. And that supernatural power does things that you and I cannot do. In fact, God's Spirit has power to convince people of their sins. He has power to draw them unto repentance by the goodness of God. See, church, you and I, if we're going to make a difference, we obey and we serve, but it's the Spirit's power that produces life change in others while we're working and being faithful to demonstrate Jesus' love and Jesus' hands and feet in the lives of people. It's the Spirit of God who moves in through you to work inside that precious man or woman of God and change them from the inside out. See, we can take it so far, and then our partner, the Holy Spirit, has to take over and bring forth the fruit of the ministry. Here's the thing. Anytime someone gives their life to Jesus, it's never a solo operation. It's never just me and you. It's never one person. It takes three. First, there's that lost and hurting person who needs hope and forgiveness. He or she is going to hear and see the gospel through my life and through your life as we love and as we serve them. But then there's us. That's the second person. There's the person who shares the gospel through words and through actions with those who are searching and hurting. That would be all of us, thank God. And then finally, the third person is the Holy Spirit of God. And what does the Holy Spirit do in that situation? The Holy Spirit applies the gospel. He exchanges the old stony heart inside the person, and he takes out that old stony heart and puts in a soft, regenerated heart and brings the person from death to life. Thank God. And if you're going to make a real difference, you can never rely solely on your own power, your own strength to change somebody else. Now hear me. We're stewards of his grace. But when our witness and our service and our example begins to ignite the heart of someone in need, it's the Holy Spirit who comes in and does the spiritual work of changing somebody's destiny. Thank God. That's why we must be partners with the Holy Spirit if we're going to make a difference. Not only that, but if you look closely at Scripture, yeah, we better believe God has gifted you and you've got mighty ability and great potential. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will come upon your life. He won't just change the person that you're trying to witness to. He'll change you. How many realize that this morning? He'll move into your life and he'll change you. He'll create a situation in your life, in your heart, and even in your mind that you can do things that you couldn't do the other day. Come on, somebody. We got to partner with the Holy Spirit to make a difference. Come on. Y'all receive it? Say a good amen right there. Number two, and I wanted to land here for just a moment because, man, I hope this defines our church. Number two, always be a great dream builder. Everybody say dream builder. Come on. Always be a great dream builder. If you think about the people in your own life, you will notice that there will always be those who are really good at being dream killers. How many know what I'm talking about? The world is full of dream killers. But in the body of Christ, all of us, we should all work to become great dream builders. What are you today? Are you a dream builder or a dream killer? Well, I don't know. Dream killers are those people who can't seem to get on board with the great thing that God wants to birth in your life. How many of y'all know somebody like that right there? I know you do. You're just afraid to raise your hand and show me. I get it. That's all right. Hey, listen to this. Maybe you're a dream killer. Today you can change that all around and become a dream builder. Amen. See, dream killers, they love to find ways to discourage and to point out why something won't work. They point out how hard something's going to be. They point out how long something is going to take. And they seem to shower your dream with discouragement and excuses. I like to surround myself with people who remind me of what Jesus says. Here's what he said in Matthew 19 and 26 Read it along your screen. He said, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Come on, church. We all need to people in our lives to remind us that great things are possible when God is in it. So I made up my mind a long, long time ago that if somebody has a dream, I'm not going to be the one to kill their dream. I'm going to be the one with the words of encouragement to let them know that God, our Heavenly Father, the one who spoke the universes into existence, our Heavenly Father has no limits. And I want to encourage them that their dream for God can happen no matter what all the dream killers have to say about it. Come on, somebody. I don't know if you ever got around me and my wife long enough, you know we're huge dream builders. We're always building on a dream. We don't want anybody killing our dreams, and we're not going to kill anybody else's. And here's our step. It's really through words of encouragement. See, words can bind people up, but they can also words can bind them up or they can set them free. Words can knock you off track, but they can also set you back on track. Here's what Proverbs 18:21 says, and you all know this. It says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Amen. We might as well speak life and be great dream builders. If we're going to make a difference, we need to be encouragers, not dream killers. Amen, everybody. Thank God. It's such an important thing. You know, the world around us is full of cynics, full of discouragers, and full of dream killers. But if you're going to make a difference, church, encouraging people is always the right thing to do. Y'all receive that today? It's very, very important. Okay? Number three, look closely. To make a difference, turn your help, your hurts, into helps. Say it one more time. To make a difference, turn your hurts into helps. Everybody in here has been through something tedious and painful. But this is one of the most courageous things that you can do. To let God take your hurts and turn them into something that can help somebody else. Let's take a close look at this particular scripture together in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Look closely at this concept. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and all comfort. And then 1:4 says this, look closely, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, I do want to take the time to read verse 4 once more. Look closely with me. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. No matter what you're going through, God has comfort for you. And here's the reason. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You know, every person in here has been through something, experienced pain and anguish in various forms. And you need to know this morning that God was with you through it all. And He will not waste your hurts. He will use those hurts. He'll use them to help someone who has had a similar experience as you. In fact, verse 4 said that He comforts you through all your tribulation. So when you encounter someone in trouble, it can be the exact same kind of trouble that you experienced, or a similar kind of trouble, or just some kind of trouble that left them with the same emotions or the same destructive patterns in their life that the enemy tried to put on you. But when you face somebody in trouble, you can turn around and reflect upon what God did in your life and begin to comfort them with the same comfort that God gave you. Thank God. And whatever you've been through, He will use that thing so that you can say to somebody else the most important words. He'll use that thing so you can say to them, I know exactly how you feel. And sometimes, church, that's the only thing he or she needs to hear for a real difference to be made in their situation. Thank God, thank God. Amen. Can y'all receive that today? Finally, number 4 this morning. Such a vital issue today, and kind of where we want to kind of emphasize our part of our values here in our church is this. When you do something that makes a difference, do it, and do it with other people who want to make a difference. Do something that makes a difference and do it with other people who make a difference. We are always more successful when we engage others and involve them in what God is doing in our life. This is one of the great reasons why we're always promoting and encouraging team-based ministry here in the life of the church. Because I'm okay by myself, but if I surround myself with a great staff and a great people who love to work together, we can get great things done for God. And in your life, you know that, yeah, you're okay by yourself and God has gifted you. But you know what? There's very, very little room in the kingdom of God for effectiveness in the kingdom of God for lone rangers and rogue people that don't want to work with others. Listen, here's what the book of Ecclesiastes has to say about this. I love this one little proverb right here in verse number 9. Two are better than one. How about that? Because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one. In other words, you hear this in churches all the time. They say it all the time. They say, hey, life is better together. Amen. And the scripture holds out. Life is better together. Two are better than one. And so do something great that makes a difference, but do it with other people who want to make a difference. Amen. Thank God. Aren't you glad about that, church? Now, one of the ways that we are facilitating this principle in our church is through Loxley Church Dream Teams. We want to make sure that every person understands within the life of the church that there's something great for you to get involved in. There's something great for you to do. There's some way for your leadership to be developed, for you to be trained, and for you to get involved in a team and to do things of great value with others in the life of the church. And so today, I just want to encourage you as we conclude this morning, I just want to encourage you with this. Make sure that you set up your mind to make a difference. Make sure that you engage the Holy Spirit, that you invite the Holy Spirit into your life, to partner with Him in every endeavor that you do. Thank God. Thank God. Make sure, guys, that you allow the Lord to take your hurts and flip them around and turn your hurts into great helps. Amen. Amen. Don't let your past and what you've been through prevent you from taking the next level step in your service for the Lord. He wants to use you. I've seen that so many times. The enemy in the world will cause people to waste so many years considering themselves ineligible for great things because they went through great hurts. But let me tell you about that right now. Jesus is our high priest. And the Bible says that we can touch Jesus because He's already overcome everything for us. Thank God. When you put your faith in Him, it's like Him saying, you know what, I went to the cross for you, and I know it hurts. But I know exactly how you feel. So arise and be great and do something great and make a difference with your life. Each month there's an opportunity to get involved with dream teams. If you would like to get involved with a ministry team here in the life of the church, all you got to do is let us know and we'll plug you right in. Many of you guys are already serving, doing wonderful things. We're just going to keep building and building and building on those things. But we have a goal in mind. It's part of the values of Loxley Church that every person has opportunities to be developed, to make a great difference with your life, to plug in and to be great and to do mighty, wonderful exploits for God in Jesus' name. Make a difference. Come on, look at your neighbor, somebody close to you, and tell them, make a difference. Have you guys been edified by the message today? If so, come on, why don't we do this? Let's give God a big praise right now. Stand to your feet with me all over the house. Stand.